Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. To the hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble up and hit the hay cold. "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. Ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. 'Cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, welcome to The Backstory. It's a beautiful day in Modesto. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Mayor.
You know, if you're listening on 93.3 FM, or if you're on your cell phone, or if you've joined us on Blog Talk, you might want to just hang up for a little while and call a friend. And the number is 846-1814, and then call right back in, because we think there are a few things that you might be very much interested in over the next half hour. We do want to talk about the coming election in 2020. Everybody is anticipating this election. As you know, for the first time in history, we've had an even-numbered year election, and so we have to wait a year, year and a half. So we're going to have to wait for this, and I think I'm trying to recall who the takers are. And the takers, by that I mean the city council people who decided that they would rather take a extra year of service than put themselves up for election this year to decide whether or not they were going to be reelected to the council. I know that might be a little confusing, but the fact is that there's a year and a half before the 2020 election, both nationally, state, and now local. And it's not too early for us to turn our attention to local, because people are still talking, and they've started talking, really, about who our next mayor will be. And my guess is that Mayor Branvall is down to one term, and that'll be the case as determined by the people of power and means in this community. been determined by history.
We have that clip, by the way, of you addressing a five-year take. So if you ever want to listen to that.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay, this is the mayor addressing council about the five-year take.
Thank you. And the options are all of the options of equal legality. Are any options subject to legal inquiry? It was brought up at the MID meeting about reducing risk. By that meaning, there are a lot of attorneys out there that are willing to take on almost anything. So do all of the options withstand a legal challenge?
I'm...
Go ahead. Here, are you okay?
I'm happy to answer that question.
That's fine, because I can't.
The main options that I have not presented to you are ones that I think would have substantial legal risk. I have not presented to the council any options that would not place this item before the voters for a charter amendment. And despite that scintilla of opening remaining in the law on that issue, there is, in my opinion, not any legal distinction between these options, but there could be a perception that any options, that the more remote an option is as it relates to your personal interest or term, arguably the less it relates to you as an individual or person. I do not perceive that to be a legal risk. I perceive that to be potentially a perception issue.
Perception. In other words, the decision as to whether to go to 5 or 3 years, quite frankly, I didn't vote for anyone for a five-year term. My vote was cast for a four-year term. And I'm going to see that I'm thinking that the MID might have some problems. They have already decided it's 5 years. And from their perception is, I'd rather take the 5 years. And there the word take is the important word, and that I'm going to take an extra year, even though the voters didn't give it to me, but I decide to take it. The alternative is to go to the 3 year, in which case I am willing to run again after 3 years and take the risk that the voters might reject me or elect me. But it seems to me that the three-year option is the option that one is a take, the three is a request, that you as individual council members make a request of the voters to reelect you after a three-year term. And again, it's a matter of perception, and there are no legal reasons for that has just been explained to me that are an impediment to that. So from my point, the perception is don't take another year. You people didn't vote you in for 5 years. They voted you in for four. So I think the riskiest but the most moral perception would be I've done a good enough job, and I will risk giving up 1 year of what you elected me for, with taking the risk that I could lose my job. I think that option should be considered. I'll be back to see this afternoon. Thank you.
Councilmember Graywall, did you?
No.
All right.
And there you go.
Well, that was at a morning workshop, and the city council meeting was that evening. And, of course, as I recall, that evening they all voted. It was a 7-0 vote to do the take, and that's what they did. They gave themselves another year and another $22,000.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a consideration. So much for being of service to the community. You know, it's brought to my attention that Bruce Roman, former city councilman, wrote a letter, and he's talking about politicians' egos hurt cooperation. I tried to reach Bruce, but he wasn't available. Maybe we'll have him on tomorrow if we can get a hold of him, if he's not traveling. But Bruce wrote this letter in response to a B story. Stanislaus County needs more action to back up words. I think that was an editorial rather than a story by Garth Stapley, well, or the editorial board. So Bruce properly thanks the B for the insightful editorial about Stanislaus County government cooperating with cities to deliver goods and services. He says, saying that one is going to partner is easier than doing so. Bruce says that for many years, governments within the county have sought one-sided agreements and acted as independent fiefdoms. As a result, taxpayer money has often been spent ineffectively with excessive administrative costs or incomplete outcomes. He goes on to say that the biggest barrier to cooperation has been outsized egos of office holders. This is a good quote. Quote, that's your problem, should become. Your problem is my problem. With cooperation, everyone benefits. And that one, two lines here is probably the truth of the whole article, but Bruce and I are going to disagree on somewhat what's been going on because of back history. And from what I see so far, there's no reason to think that it's going to change. Although Bruce Froman does bring up that Terry Froman has delivered on a pledge of partnership and cooperation throughout the spectrum of infrastructure and service delivery. He will be the greatest supervisor Stanislaus County has ever had. He says that evidence of cooperation will consist of joint city-county meetings. Oh, that ought to be a riot.
You would miss half of the world.
Joint city-county meetings. Well, of course, what we will have to do is remodel 10 Street so that we can have, maybe there's 12 room for 12 up there now. I don't know.
Smaller chairs.
Or the guys like the city manager and the attorney and the city clerk, they can all sit down below. That's what it was designed for.
True.
But no, they put themselves up there at the dais. Or dais, whatever it's called. But anyhow, that could be arranged. So that would be even figuring out the seating arrangement of where the county would sit and where the city sit would be problematic. Oh, let's see. Oh, then Bruce says that revenue sharing. I don't think so, Bruce. I don't think you're ever going to find revenue sharing. It's just not in the cards. Elimination of service overlap. Well, the problem there is that the county and the city have different agendas. They have different service options. The county takes care of social services, not the city. And there are other areas where it would be not difficult to cooperate, but it would be difficult to put it together. And the failure of all this, I think, is indicated by 1010 10th Street itself. 1010 10th Street is run by a joint powers association. County and city getting together and deciding who has the power. And my guess is that if you really look at the fine print, the county would still, I don't know if it's because they've always had more talented help, staffs, or if that's just the nature of the beast when you've got a budget, the county's budget, and compare that with the city's budget, who would think that that was an even match? Let's see. Bruce also says that this would lead to economic prosperity. Economies of scale are best accomplished with pooled resources. See, those are all truisms, and Bruce is absolutely right. There are economies of scale. If you can partnership, and partnerships are usually, in business, they're not a good idea.
No. They don't work out.
Nope. I remember a professor I had in college who was talking about, he says sometimes, well, that's what his phrase was, partnerships aren't any good, or not a good idea. And he says, and even if the partners get along, the outside factors will come in to, like their wives, and to show you how long it's been. Remember when women wanted a mink coat? Nobody wears a mink coat now.
No.
Okay? But in those days, the prof used the example of one partner's wife gets a mink coat, well, the other partner's wife, she wants a mink coat. And there it starts. Bruce finally ends up by saying the partnership to accommodate homeless citizens is admirable. Monitoring individual outcomes is an essential component. Each homeless citizen needs a path to permanent housing. That's an admirable goal. But I think that when Bruce gives any chance of success by Terry Withrow's pledge, it's probably not going to happen, not that quick. But in my experience, the city has always been taken advantage of by the county. And the counties, if you recall, they have, there's 9 cities in Stanislaus County, and the county has contracts with some of these cities to provide safety, law enforcement. And so I recall that upon my taking mayor, we didn't have a city manager. We had an interim city manager. And we didn't have a police chief. We had an interim police chief. It was sort of like the beginning of a Trump administration, where all of a sudden, although this was existing when I got there, everybody was interim or acting, and nobody really had the job for very long. Well, who should appear in my office but none other than Les Weidman, who was the sheriff at the time. And to show you of the objective or the goal of the county is not to be in partnership, but to take over. So Weidman comes into the office. He says, "Mayor, I can take over the police department while you're, you know." I said, "You know, Les, it might be wise if we waited on that until we got city manager, someone that could negotiate with you and with the CEO. And incidentally, the talent that the county had at the time I became mayor was great. They had, of course, Weidman, I guess you could call him talented politically in law enforcement, and they had Reagan Wilson. And Reagan Wilson was an extremely intelligent man, but used his intelligence in the wrong directions. He was so arrogant that he decided that while he was the CEO of Stanislaus County, he could also be a partner out in the private sector.
And that's right.
Sure. He had the he went into partnership with Lee Torrance to go out and create a medical waste dump out on the highway, among other things. I mean, this wasn't the only thing. The scandal of the medical waste dump that the county was trying to put together was very costly. About $19 million. So, anyhow, we'll be talking more about that. I was going to start, and there are probably rumors, but who's going to be the next mayor? Well, rumor has it that Jim DeMartini, the czar of the Republican Party, is raising $50,000 to support Mayor Branwell. Now, that's interesting because he's not even indicated he's going to run, but I think they'll persuade him to run.
I thought Jim was on his way out. He bought land at a state and all that.
Yeah, but he still votes here.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know where he's going to go. His wife, Andy Martini, would have to give up her seat on the Yosemite Community College District. Jim, of course, would lose his taxpayer-paid office that is sublet to the Republican Central Committee. And so we have a situation where there's supposed to be a power struggle among people of power and means to use the word Republican. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. I don't know if the Republican organization locally will be able to stick together and maintain. Some of the real right-wingers that I know, is their greatest hate is for Democrats. Doesn't make any difference what the issue is. For them, it's a personal thing. And the Republican Central Committee has been led by Supervisor Jim DeMartini. So there are other candidates that are being talked about. There's Councilman Doug Ridenour. The word on the street there is that Doug is being talked to about passing up this opportunity to run for mayor. It's well known that Bill Zelacki is also interested in a mayoral race. He's just waiting for his time. He's been in and out. Bill has been in and out of quite a few races. I know he went into the assembly race, and he was talked into, maybe you should wait. I like the expression they use, like, it's not your turn. Even judges use that. There's an occasion where two judges were going to run against each other, and the word got down to one of them that, it's just not your turn yet. You'll wait. I don't recall if he waited or if he ran and lost. But I do know of another judge, Judge Cummings, who decided to run for district attorney. And he ran against Birgit Flatiger. And he found out it wasn't his turn yet either. So Birgit beat him as the DA. So you've got Ridenour, of course, Zelocki, Branvall. Don't forget Tony Madrigal. You know, Madrigal might feel this. Well, you know, Tony, you tried to get into the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors and you failed. Why don't you drop back one notch and we'll make you mayor of Modesto instead of city councilman? Because don't forget, the pay for Board of Supervisors is maybe, what, $75,000?
I think so.
Tony, that's a lot more than $22,000. I mean, who's going to criticize you? You know, go for it. You know.
Did they have the same dilemma whether to take 5 years?
No, because the Board of Supervisors has always been an even numbered year.
Okay, okay.
So there's, I don't think there's a dilemma there. Oh, you know, I may have said something there that I'm really not sure about. I should know.
I just don't remember it coming up.
Well, it hasn't come up among the Board of Supervisors, which would mean that they already had their election. I think their elections are in even numbered years. I may be wrong. So, and then over on the far right, you've got Manny Grewal. Now, Manny, who is one of the wealthiest members of the city council, he's in the hotel business. He has, I'm told, close to $500,000 in his campaign fund. But he wanted to run, or does want to run, for Senate. And then he found out that Senator in that San Joaquin district, it'll be Eggman, Michael Eggman's sister, that is going to run there. So we don't know if Manny is going to go for the Senate. He's got an awful lot of scars to heal in order to get there, but who knows? Money buys the truth. Is that something Giuliani would say? But he would.
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, money buys the truth.
Money buys a lot. I don't know about the truth.
Well, it is. It's the truth if I say so. You know, that's. Yeah, I'm telling you it's the truth. And I got enough money to convince you it's the truth. So there we go. We've got a whole lot of local activity to talk about this year, and we'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We want to talk to you tomorrow again about our hotel downtown. $33 million. And don't think that it's the city that's going to pay for it. We're not going to invest $33 million, but we're going to invest enough to make it possible for a developer to come in and build, and that'll give us an opportunity to sell another asset, the land where the hotel will be on. See you tomorrow at 11.
Thank you, Mayor. Stop all that fuss.